Hello, and welcome back to the Talk Gnats podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Nibley, and we are sponsored by Old DC Apparel. Head on over to shopolddc.com for new and original DC fan gear, city gear, hat shirts. You know, I think they have like some rocks glasses for you to drink your whiskey. It's fun, inventive, original stuff you're not going to find anywhere else. And as always, you can subscribe to our show on YouTube for the video. It's at Talk Gnats Podcast. We also have an X account under the same handle. And for people who like just the audio only, which is honestly how I designed this show, it's to be listened to, not necessarily watched, but you know, you got to do what the kids like these days and throw it up on camera. But you can just listen to it, if that's your thing, on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, pretty much anywhere you get your podcast. So yeah, this episode is a continuation of our conversation with my co-host Brian King, talking about what failed in the rebuild and what the next steps are for the Gnats and how they should move forward as a franchise in 2026. And I did get a note that part one was a touch on the negative side, and that's true. It was a touch negative, but you know, it's also honest. And just so you guys know, I mean, we don't script what we're going to talk about. We don't like write this all out and try to do hot takes. It's literally a conversation between two people with maybe a list of three or four topics I provide that we're going to get into, and the conversation's natural and free flowing. And, you know, I mean, I'll be honest, this next episode you're about to listen to probably isn't all that positive either. But if you want some positive stuff, I mean, James Wood, I think, has the potential to be the next Aaron Judge. CJ, if he puts it all together, could be like a 30-50 kind of player. Gore could be, you know, the next Scooble if he gets it together. And Dalen Lyle look like a revelation in the second half. There's a world where if Dylan Cruz kind of takes that next step this year, you could have one of the best outfields in the majors with Lyle, Cruz, and Wood. And, you know, you have CJ in the mix and Gore, and you could have a really exciting team. And, you know, with Harry Ford coming over from Seattle. So there are things to be happy about. You know, they just didn't happen to come up in the last podcast. And I'm not sure they're necessarily going to come up in this one. But that's some sunshine for y'all. Now we'll get into the second part of what went wrong with the Gnats rebuild with my good friend and favorite hot taker, Brian King.
I went to a Gnats game last season. And like you said, yeah, the area around the park was great. It was so nice, especially, you know, I live in Los Angeles, and going to a Dodgers game kind of sucks because there's nothing around the park. You got to take a bus to get there, and you're stuck there. Like, so it was really nice to be able to just like go out, get a beer before the game, hang out, and then just like walk right there. But the atmosphere was just pretty like meh, because no one was really excited. So I feel like you got to at least try. But it does make sense these next couple of years to, like, you don't know what your budget's going to be. You don't know what your TV revenue is going to be. So sure, if there's ever a time to kind of bunker down, try to get, you know, draft some talent, and then in 2 years you can spend again. The question is, are they going to spend again in 2 years?
Yeah,
they probably don't even know the answer to that. What they missed from this last rebuild too was that Jason Worth type. Like, you got to bring in a clubhouse leader who's going to teach these young kids. It doesn't matter if you're a 31-year-old manager. Like, the players, you know, the clubhouse has to police itself. The players have to lead the players, and you need that Ryan Zimmerman, that Jason Worth, some kind of guy who's going to command respect, who's been there, who's got a World Series ring, or at least, you know, been to the playoffs a lot. You know, instill those training habits, all that kind of stuff.
The issue is they've gotten some veterans, but they've been on all these one-year deals.
One-year deal, like, they know they're just going to get traded,
Right, so it's like, I don't know if Nathaniel Lowe could have been that guy, but it's like, you know, the dude's hitting 220 and, you know, in May or whatever, and so it's like the kids know he's probably gone by June or July, you know, and that's one thing no one really ever remembers. That when Jason Worth came over, his first season here wasn't very good. He's injured. I think he was hitting in like the low 200s, but you know, the guy was signed to, I can't remember exactly, like seven, 8 year deal, whatever it was. Like, so, you know, he's
you know he's there, right? You know, they don't have a veteran that you know is going to be there. And it's like a no win. It's a, if he plays poorly, the kids might not listen to him. And if he plays well, he's going to be traded. So why would they listen to him, right? You know, it's like a rental. Yeah. So.
And they're not bringing in, I mean, no disrespect to your Josh Bells and your Nathaniel Lowe's, you know, great guys, love them.
But, yeah.
You know, like they're journeyman players. That's fine. But I think there's a big world of difference when, you know, you've got a guy that's borderline Hall of Fame, has got a ring, has been there, has those lessons, can tell these kids, here's how you got to train. Here's what you do to be a winner. Not here's what you do to have a solid career as a journeyman. You know, like
here's how you can be like Tommy Pham, right, or that kind of player. That, so yeah, no, we've had too many of those,
and so then I think you know, there's no shocker you're not seeing the accountability, you know, the base running errors, that kind of thing. Like players, CJ last 2 years ago going out and gambling. Like there's no one that's kind of in the locker room like that going to get on these players, show them how to do things the right way. Bringing a totally different sport in, you know, when Luka was traded to the Lakers, everyone's like, oh, well, like Luka, you know, he doesn't train hard. He doesn't work hard in the off season. And I'm like, yeah, but if I'm the Lakers, this actually makes a lot of sense because if there's one person that's going to get Luka to get his ass in gear, get, you know, train right, it's going to be LeBron James, like the greatest freaking basketball player of his generation. Like, you're not going to listen to LeBron James. And lo and behold, what does Luka do in the offseason? He goes down, he gets all ripped, like he's having a monster year, he's been healthy. Like, I probably just jinxed him. He's going to get great tomorrow. But I think that really, really makes a big difference. Your peers are going to influence you so much more than your manager is, or your front office, or doesn't matter how much data you have. Like, people still need to be surrounded by other people that are going to lift them up, allow them to play better than themselves. And the Nats just haven't had anyone like that in the last 5 years. And so, yeah, I'm like, well, shocker, these kids aren't blossoming as much as they could be, maybe.
No, that's a great point. So I guess with all that being said, what are your expectations for, I guess, the off season that remains and the season that will come after it? I mean, do you think we're going to do anything in free agency, or do you think it's just going to be some Band-Aids?
You kind of have to. I mean, like, who's even the starting five?
The bullpen. I mean, with I was on some other podcast, or a different city's podcast, where I was like the Nats expert. And they're like, tell me about the bullpen. And I was like, well, we have Jose Ferrer. And then I think a day after I recorded that, they traded him, right? So I'm like, okay, I guess is Clayton Buehler our closer right now, or Cole Henry? They have to do something with bullpen, right? I mean,
And I feel like that's probably, you know, bullpen's usually you can wait until a little later and just see who's left, and because they're obviously not going to spend a ton of money. So it's going to be, all right, who's out there that's desperate and we can get for cheap. But yeah, like I said, I feel like they really should identify just some veterans to kind of provide that leadership. I mean, even the Wizards know that. Come on. Like, you're going to like knock their results, but like they're at least showing that they understand the value of having those kind of veterans there to kind of.
They're Chris Middleton and all that.
So, yeah, you know, I think obviously everyone's expectations are probably pretty low for this season. Like, they can just be slightly better than last year. I think everyone will say it's an improvement, but I think a lot of it has to do, like you were saying, with how they're playing. Like, are they fixing some of these base running mistakes? Like, sure, they might not hit a lot of home runs or whatever, or their bullpen might blow a lot of lead. But I think we would all take a team where starting pitching looks solid, they're playing solid baseball, but, you know, they don't have a closer that's locked down. Well, okay, that's an easy fix, right? Like, oh, they don't have that, like, middle-of-the-order bat, so they're not, like, driving in these runs, but they're getting on base, and they're playing smart, and they're playing good defense, and they're, you know, being scrappy. And if they just had a couple, like, big giant dudes that can hit dingers, slot in, you know, 3-4 spot, that'll be fine. You're like, cool, we can go out and we can get a big dude to hit dingers. Like, I'm like, those are fixable problems, but a whole team that can't field their position or, you know, like run the base, that's a bigger issue. So,
gets picked off every night. I guess just a couple quick questions for 26. I think we both feel the same way. We're probably looking down, you know, best case, maybe we win 75. Worst case, it's another awful 60-65 win kind of year. I don't think, barring some miraculous turn of events, I don't think we're expecting anything more. But just for questions in terms of what's left in the offseason, would you trade Mackenzie Gore? Would you trade CJ Abrams?
I mean, it's tough. It's, you know, I think it obviously depends on the return you're going to get. I think you have to get a lot for gore. I think they know that. So I'd be surprised, but you also say if you're not looking to compete, then yes, absolutely trade them, because what's the point of having him for 2 or 3 years if you guys are going to be bad? I think CJ, I absolutely would trade him. I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough, but I don't think he projects as a shortstop long term.
He doesn't. I would talk to him, and I mean, it's a tough conversation to have, but at least you have new management, and that's when you have those kind of conversations. You know, I'd be like, I would basically go to him and be like, hey, do you want to play second base? And if so, maybe come up with an extension. I think there's a world where he could be, I'm not going to say Daniel Murphy, I'm not going to go that crazy, but I think there's a world where he could be like a mediocre glove at second base, but a really good hitter. And especially if you took a little bit of defense off his plate and just, you know, really forced him to focus, you know, at the plate, I think he could be a plus second baseman. Obviously, I'm sure him and his agent would prefer to be a shortstop going into the free agency because you get more money. I don't think he can play the type of defense at short that's ever going to be necessary for a winning team. So, yeah, I mean, that's a guy you move. I mean, I'm so sick of Luis Garcia. Like, I've seen some people talk about moving him to first, and I'm like, that might be the dumbest idea I've ever heard in my life. And that's the thing I hate about Garcia is he always does this thing at the end of the season where he goes on a tear and like, and he ends kind of in a place where you're like, oh, okay, like for second base, that's not so bad. And maybe he's coming into his prime. But yeah, I mean, for me, it's like the guy didn't hit well enough to be your second baseman. So let's move him to first. That makes no sense.
I mean, as far as like your CJs and your Garcias, you know, what concerns me about CJ is that like he has the tools to be an elite.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, he's, you know, not fast enough or he doesn't have a strong. I'm like, dude, it's all in his, I feel like, between his ears. And the fact that it hasn't really improved in a couple of seasons, that again says to me, I would be hesitant to just move him to second base. Yeah, sure, he isn't going to be as good defensively, but it's not like it's a talent issue at shortstop. And so you're like, oh, if you could just play a slightly less demanding position at second, he'd be fine. I'm like, no, it's not like he doesn't have the range, bro. It's just like he just seems to make a lot of mental mistakes and you know, on the bases too. And so that's where I'm like, I would just, you know, just cut your, just get what you can for him now while his stock is high.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. And I just, you know, I think somewhere between K-Bear, CJ, Garcia, we need to kind of cut some of these guys that do this swing at the first pitch, like, you know, just awful plate discipline. Obviously with CJ, it works sometimes. Like sometimes the first pitch he hits a home run. And so I'm a little more lenient with him because, you know, like I remember Ian Desmond back in the day was that kind of player. I mean, he just saw a pitch he liked, he swung. He wasn't a grinder. And that's fine. If you have one or two of those guys in your lineup, that's okay. But right now we have a bunch. We've had so many games last year, especially against mediocre pitchers, where you're in the fourth inning and the dude's thrown like 36 pitches or something because everyone's just coming up, just swinging at like the first sinker ball and rolling it over to second. And I'm just, that would be step one for me. Well, obviously step one would be putting together some kind of pitching staff that won't get you bombed out of every game. And then step two would be pulling the lineup a little bit more just so, you know, even if we're not going to score a ton of runs, I mean, at least maybe get into their bullpen by the fifth or sixth inning, you know,
just figure out what kind of team you want to be. I mean, the last 4 or 5 years, you know, again, why I felt it was time to move on from Davey and Rizzo was just like, you're like, okay, you're trying to rebuild, you're trying to develop, but like what, you know, there doesn't seem to be any kind of like overall approach other than just like find a tall guy. What is your like plan for, like, you know, how are you developing these pitchers? Like, are you trying to, you know, be the Dodgers and get guys who can just like throw crazy spin? Like, you know, just being tall doesn't seem like the best overarching like strategy. And it just felt like that's who like all they would do is be like, who's the tallest pitcher in the draft? We'll take him. They're like, well, who's expected to go in the 17th round when you took him in the first? Like, well, did you see he was over 6'5"? Like,
yeah, I saw Mike Rizzo had that famous sign. It's at one of the last spring trainings, the, you know, we don't care how fast you throw ball four, but he doesn't care how tall you are when you throw ball four. Yeah. All right. I think that's our episode. Some really interesting points. And I do really agree. I think one of the missing ingredients
that Brian brought up was not having that Jason Wirth, not having that Ryan Zimmerman. And, you know, maybe that is the reason why some of these kids, you know, haven't fully developed into the superstars we'd hope they become. You know, maybe we do need to stop only taking the tallest players in the draft. That kind of cracked me up, at least on the pitching side. But yeah, that's our episode. Subscribe to us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Amazon. Thanks to Old DC for sponsoring the show. Go visit talknats.com. We'll probably have another one of these with Brian in the next week or so. And we will be having some special guests pretty soon. We're hooking all that up. It's a little slow in the off season, but thanks as always for listening. And until the next time, go Nats.